Storytel Original presents Becoming Sherlock 1, The Red Circle, based on an original idea by Anthony Horowitz, written by Anthony Horowitz and Sarah J. Norton, narrated by me, Alfred Enoch. Chapter 1. The Man on the Path. As the darkness draws in, London seems to hold its breath, preparing itself for whatever wickedness the next 12 hours may bring. Westminster Bridge is empty, the Houses of Parliament black shadows against a steel-grey sky. The clock, known as Big Ben, is stuck permanently, appropriately, at 11 o'clock, the 11th hour. The moon struggles to show itself, and its reflection appears briefly in the oily water of the River Thames. But then it's gone, and only the gas lamps light the way, their frail glow hopelessly inadequate against the invading night. A single man walks along the embankment, his shoulders hunched and his hands deep in his pockets, heading for Pimlico, where he rents a room. He has a slight limp. He has an old injury which makes itself known whenever the weather is cold or damp. And tonight it is most certainly both. He could wait for the omnibus, but he's empty and exhausted after a 9-hour shift, and he has decided that it will be faster this way, as well as saving him money that he can spend on his evening meal and, more importantly, the drink that goes with it. His name is John, and he is a hospital porter, working in the lumbering construction of St. Thomas's Hospital, which is not at all saintly and, with the endless chaos, the queues in the corridors, the shortage of medical provisions, can barely be called a hospital. He is not as old as his gait might suggest. In his early 30s, he would be handsome, if he only smiled more and perhaps carried fewer of his troubles on his shoulders. He is clean-shaven, with the regular features and the intelligent eyes of a man you could immediately trust. He has a doctor's eyes. No moon now. The fog has come in dank and sulphurous, and John can't see more than a few feet beyond the light cast by the gas lamps. As he walks along the pavement, spectres materialize and dissolve, and the sound of his footsteps seems detached from his body, as if they belong to someone else, someone following him or approaching him from the cover of the fog. Passing carriages are just patches of hazy darkness.
"Does the Bible not tell us? There will be earthquakes, famines, and pestilence. The end is coming. It will be with us very soon."
The familiar voice swims through the fog. Holy Peter's is abroad, as he is every night. Gaunt, wild-eyed, and bedraggled, in appearance very much like the biblical prophet he believes himself to be. He likes to find a lamp close to a crossing and positions himself there, shaking his fist and passing out printed tracts to anyone who passes by. John has seen him inside the hospital too. It seems that Londoners don't like hearing about their imminent destruction, and Holy Peter's is a regular visitor to the casualty department, with a blackened eye or bloody nose. The strange thing is that he never warns the doctors or the nurses of the end of the world. Perhaps he feels a little more optimistic when he's sitting indoors with a rug over his knees and a hot cup of tea. John quickens his pace, not wanting to be accosted, but he hears the prophet's voice as he approaches the short flight of stairs that will take him down to the Thames path.
"The Lord will send his vengeance. It will come out of the sky, a thunderbolt of flame that will fall on London and devour all those who have failed to repent."
Rubbish. The good Lord will not destroy London. It's been years since he even remembered it was there. John knows, how many times has Nurse Hudson told him, that he shouldn't go home along the embankment. The wall that separates the river walkway from the road.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?